First John, please, and we're going to read from chapter 1. First John, chapter 1, and we'll read from verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's all we want to read. We trust further with the blessing of God. It was in the city of Belfast, the city in which I was born. One night, there was a gospel preacher. He was having a series of gospel meetings just outside of the city. And he got detained. Someone wanted to hear more of the gospel. Waited behind and said to him, "Sir, tell me again the story of the cross." And that old soul winner, David Ray, he sat with that man. Told him again the story of Jesus. Told him of the blood of Christ. Told him of the sufferings of Christ. And led that soul to trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior. As a result, he was delayed getting his train, and he got a later train into the city. He missed his connection home, and he started walking through one of those main thoroughfares through the city of Belfast. As he's walking along, there came a voice in his conscience, the Holy Spirit. And it came to him, "David, quote 1 John 1 verse 7. And he took a look around. He thought to himself, "I quote this, people, anyone watching me, they'll think I'm crazy." And he kept walking. And the voice came stronger. "David, quote 1 John 1 verse 7. And he kept walking. And the voice came stronger still. "David, quote it." And he stopped. And with all his might, he lifted his voice. And he started to quote, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, it cleanseth us from all sin." And just when he finished it, just above him, a lady opened two shutters and she looked down and she said, "Thank God." She said, "I've been on my knees all night searching before God, saying, 'Oh God, send someone. Show me how I can be saved.'" And she said, "Sir, come in. Tell me again. Tell me what you quoted." And that night, he led two souls to Christ. Friend, you might, in this gospel meeting, I know Mr. Hull said it last night, but here, as we have come to Midland Park, we are here for souls. I know it's only the second night. Only the second night of gospel preaching. But sir, we are here. And you say, "Well, you're preaching at me." No, no. When we are here, when we are preaching for you. We want to see souls delivered. In the words of Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, souls saved, sinners delivered, rescued. Starting for heaven, going home. Tell me, ever had a moment like that? Ever started for heaven and glory? Left this old world far behind? You were preaching tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His Son, it cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I guess it's a strange thing. Instead of starting where we read, I want to start at the close of the text. And so we're starting with the last word that we read. And I want to work from that back to where we read. And so the word that we start with tonight is the last word. We read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, it cleanseth us from all sin." That's what I want to start with. I want to start with that three-letter word. That word that has blighted humanity. I want to think of sin. The catastrophe of sin. I mentioned last night, almost every night we preach, there is something before us. It is that moment when Adam sinned against God. When Adam, standing in a garden of absolute innocence, purity, no sin, everything beneath him, the birds above him, he had absolute sovereignty over them. The beasts of the field, even those creatures that swim, everything in the ocean life. Friend, listen, Adam had sovereignty above it all. And one sin, it wreaked havoc. It brought devastation. It blighted humanity. It blighted earth. One sin. You know what it did? It brought distance. Here is a man walking with God, a man talking with God, a man communing with God. And in one moment, when he sinned, there was a distance between Adam and God. That's what the Bible says. It says, your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's what sin has done. In this gospel meeting tonight, your sin has separated between you and God. Because sin, it has brought distance. More than that, it has brought darkness. According to John 3:18, it says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so here we are, the catastrophe of sin. It has brought death. Didn't we quote last night, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. But someone in our gathering says, that wasn't fair. Just for one sin. Let me tell you tonight, you look back over today, and you think of your life. Let me ask everyone here, what about your sin? As we are preaching the gospel, let's start right here, right in the front row, and work our way back, right through the audience. Sir, ma'am, let me ask you, what about your sin? How many times have you sinned today? Those sins are against God. The Bible says, against thee only, have I sinned. What about your sin? Here's a man, just one sin, and it kept him from God's presence. God drove him out of the garden. God drove him from his presence. Just one sin. But someone says, that wasn't fair. Just one sin. Well, what if God had raised the bar a little? And God said, 100,000 sins. And when you reach 100,000 sins, you will be driven from my presence. And Adam, he continues to sin. And he reaches 100,001 sins. Do you know how many sins kept him from God? Yeah, you got it. Just one sin. He reached just one sin. It drove him from God. Now let me ask you again, in this gospel meeting, I know it's plain preaching. Friend, before Almighty God, because as we are gathered here, God is present. God is listening. God is watching. What about your sin? The catastrophe, sin. But more than that, not only have we here sin, it's catastrophe. The next word says, all sin. Not only the catastrophe of sin, I see here the catalog of sin. If I can illustrate that for you, to the account of every one of us, every time we sin, there is a catalog, and God keeps a record of our sin. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 50, he says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself. But he says, I will reprove thee. Your sin, I will set them in order before your eyes. What about the catalog of your sin? You see, some people, they treat sin just the way you would do in a shopping mall. When you go into that store, and you're going through the aisles with your cart, sometimes on a Friday, back in Nova Scotia, I say to my wife, honey, I'll come shopping with you today. Let me come to Atlantic Superstore. And she says, no, you're not coming. And I said, why not? Well, she says, you fill the cart with junk. And she's right. Chips, cookies, ice cream, all the junk. I put it into the cart. You know what? Just like sinners. Sinners treat sin as if they are in that mall and in that store. And they go and they take this out. And they like the look of that. Put it into the cart. And they continue through the store picking up this and that. Put it into the cart. You know what? There comes a moment. There comes a moment to check out. There comes a moment when you've got to pay for everything you've taken. In fact, if I can put it simply, it is payday, someday. You know what? The Bible says, he that doeth wrong, he shall pay for the wrong that he hath done. Mind you, every one of us, we are going to face our sin. We are going to stand before God. Every one of us, we shall give account of ourselves to God. The catastrophe of sin. Sin. The catalogue of sin. All sin. Now tell me, what's to your account? In this gospel meeting tonight, what we are dealing with is your sin in light of heaven or in light of hell. That's what we are dealing with. My friend, someday I am going to stand before my Savior, my Master. Someday I am going to give account for having preached here this very night in Midland Park. When I stand before Him, and as I look into His face, look into His eyes, I want to be absolutely sure I've discharged my responsibility. Lord, that night when I preached, I told them about their sin. I told them of the catastrophe of human sin. I told them of the catalogue of sin. I told them, us, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us, the creatures of sin. Let me tell you tonight, Mr. Hull and I, we were no different than you. From the very moment we began to exist, right those first moments when we could walk or talk, we did exactly what you have done. I got a 4-year-old at home. It's an amazing thing. I used to hear preachers talk about, well, kids. And you could only presume it was their own kids. I got a 4-year-old at home. And right now, she puts her hand on her hip. And with the right inflection in her voice, she says, no. You think we taught her that? Yeah? You think we taught a 4-year-old how to say no? Let me tell you, creatures of sin, every one of us, we have sinned against God. We have turned away from Him. And every one of us, the Bible says, has gone astray. Listen to Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, everyone, to his own way. We are creatures of sin. As we come to the text, not only is there the great catastrophe of sin, not only do we see the catalogue of sin, not only do we learn, us, we are creatures of sin, I see from the text that there is a great contrast with sin. You know the amazing thing? What we have heard already, there is one, and he came from the brightness of the excellent glory, the heavenly realm, heaven itself. He was uncreated. He never had a beginning. Oh, friend, we are preaching the wonder of the incomparable Christ. And this is the contrast to sin. We read tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, it cleanseth us from all sin. We are preaching the contrast to human sin. He came, and He was born, and He was absolutely spotless. Mary cradled a babe in her arms. And she listened to the words of the angel, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Absolutely pure. Now, I've heard people preach. And as they preach, they say, he didn't sin. You know what? That's true. But it doesn't go far enough. I've heard others preach. And the amazing thing is, they say, he couldn't sin. That also is true. But it doesn't go far enough. You know the amazing thing? This one that the Bible presents, in His absolute intrinsic holiness, not only did not sin, not only could not sin, He was absolutely, He could not even be tempted by sin. He was so holy. Friend, we are preaching the absolute glory of the Lord Jesus. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In Him, in His very being, is no sin. We are preaching the essential, eternal glory of Christ and the absolute, holy, spotless, sinless humanity of the Lord Jesus. What a banner we are raising tonight. Only one in the universe of God. You say, why would you ever preach that? In the Gospel, here in Midland Park, why would you ever preach the stainlessness, spotlessness, holiness of the Lord Jesus? Just for one reason. If He had sinned once, He couldn't go to that cross. Had He been able to sin, had He sinned once, He couldn't go to that cross and deal with my sin. You know, friend, I am so thankful tonight. As I stand before you, I should have been in hell. I willingly admit it. I don't think this man here is the chief of sinners. You know what? I'm the chief of sinners. I should have been under the judgment of God. But there was one who came, so holy, so pure. He is the contrast with human sin. Jesus Christ. The contrast with sin. I see from the text, not only the catalogue of sin, not only us the creatures of sin, not only Jesus Christ, the contrast with sin, here I see the cost for sin. We are told in this text the cost of our sin. Do you know what it cost? It says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. It cleanseth us from all sin. There was a cost for sin. Do you know what it was? We've heard already that He was led forth out the gates of the city. He is thorn crowned. His back is bleeding. He is bearing a cross. At some point, He meets Simon the Cyrenian coming from the country. And those Roman soldiers, they constrain Simon to carry his cross. And Simon carries that cross until they reach Calvary, Golgotha. And when they got to Golgotha, there they crucified Him. Nailed Him through His hands, nailed Him through His feet. There He is upon a cross. I couldn't begin to describe to you what a death the death of the cross must have been. Every breath was labored. For the Savior even to take a breath, He had to push Himself up and pull Himself with those hands, those holy hands, even to get a breath. Such was the intensity, the searing pain of the death of the cross. And yet, friend, tonight, we've already heard, did thy God in there forsake thee? Hide His face from thy deep need. In that face, once marred and smitten, all God's glory, there we read. We are preaching of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the cost for human sin. And there came a moment, on that tree, there came a moment when He cried. John records it, one word in the Greek. What was it you told us last night? I think it was tetelestai. Finished! Everything was done! And you and I might have said, well, He has accomplished it. All indignity is over. The Savior has finished the work. You know what God said? One more indignity. One final indignity to be heaped upon His Holy Son. And a soldier comes. And he comes to this thief, crucified here. And he kicks that mallet. And he breaks his legs to hasten his death. He walks across. He kicks that mallet, breaks the legs of this thief. He comes to that man, crucified in shame, that lonely thorn-crowned sufferer. He sees he is dead already. And he takes a spear, he puts it into his side, and from the holy side of Christ, there comes precious blood. This is the cost of sin. The cost of our sin. The cost of your sin. The cost of my sin. It was the precious, precious, sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus. Wasn't it Martin Luther? I know the story is well known, but Martin Luther, the great reformer, from around the 1600s, 1617, wasn't it when he pinned those 99 theses to the church door in Wittenberg? It was Martin Luther, after his conversion, he had a dream. And in his dream, I guess I would call it a nightmare. Not really a dream, Satan came to him. And Satan said, Luther, have a look. And he starts to unfurl a scroll with all Luther's sin. Every sin he's ever committed. He says, Luther, do you remember that one? And Luther remembered that sin. He says, Luther, see that one. You remember committing that sin. He said, Luther, remember this sin. And Luther awoke. And as he awoke in a cold sweat. And he grabbed the inkwell from his little desk. And he hurled it at the wall. And he said, Satan, as that ink splattered over the wall, he said, Satan, bring them all. Every single sin I have ever committed, bring them all. Every single one. But he says, Satan, remember this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. For that was the cost of sin. Did you notice tonight that I left one thing out? As we've been preaching here, we mentioned sin, the catastrophe of sin. We mentioned all sin, the catalogue of sin. We mentioned us, the creatures of sin. We preached on Jesus Christ, the contrast with sin, and the blood, the cost of sin. One thing, one word in the text I've omitted. Do you know what it is? That glorious word. Listen to it. Cleanseth. Cleanseth. We are preaching tonight. In all the wonder of gospel preaching, you know what we're preaching? Cleansing for human sin. Listen, you go out tonight, and anyone out there in the street, Prospect, is it Avenue? Prospect Street. Anyone on Prospect Street, ask you, what are those men preaching in there? You know what? Tell them we are preaching cleansing for sin. Oh, friend, what a glory it is. Cleansing for human sin. I was almost going to tell you last night how God saved me. Yeah, my wife tells me, every time you preach, you tell them it anyway. I don't know why you tell it. Because every time you preach, as you preach, you tell them how you get saved. You know what? So I do. You know the reason why I tell them? Just for this reason. When I was 16 going through that bedroom door, I trusted the Lord Jesus. And those words came. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, you are healed. And that night, 1990. That means I'm 35. Yeah. You'll not try and calculate my age. I don't look 35. I know that. 1990, 16 years of age, I got cleansing for sin. Cleansing of all my sin. A standing before God. And God says, His sins are blotted out. He's for heaven. Because he trusted the Lord Jesus. Tell me, ever started for glory? Ever started for heaven? Ever had this moment when you got cleansing for sin? It was in 1946. At those Nuremberg trials. There was a Lutheran pastor, Pastor Henry Garek. He personally was overseeing Hermann Göring. He went into Göring's cell. Göring, as you know, was Herr Reichsmarschall. He was the chief of the German Luftwaffe. He went and pleaded with that man. Gave him his official title. He said, "Will you not trust the Lord Jesus?" He said, "Sir, in a few days, you're going to your death. The verdict against you is certain guilty. You are going to your death. Trust the Lord Jesus." Göring refused. That same night, an October night, 1946, that dear pastor got a call. They told him, Göring has taken poison. He's dying. Pastor, go and see him. And that man left his home, traveled as quickly as he could, got into that cell. He saw that dear German lying with his head back. His eyes rolling. The death rattling in his throat. He lifted that man, lifted his head, cradled it in his arms. And he said, Herr Reichsmarschall, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanses from all sin. Who knows whether Göring heard it or not, friend. Listen, you're hearing it tonight. In the gospel tonight, as I've already said, you are hearing this message. You could trust the Lord Jesus. You do it. Right on the seat where you are sitting. Why? This is a faithful saying. Worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You trust Him tonight, and God will save you right in the seat you're sitting. Shall we pray? Our Father,